It's all your prayers this morning that the Spirit of God would anoint His Word. The Spirit of the Lord has a message for us this morning, and it's one that took me to my knees, and I asked the Lord to help me, so I've been on my knees. I trust that I can just get out of the way this morning and let the Spirit of God give us what He would have us to get hold of this morning. If you will turn with me over to Exodus in the 40th chapter. Exodus in the 40th chapter, we begin reading with the 34th verse. Let's begin with the 33rd verse. He was speaking of Moses. God had given some very specific instruction to Moses how to build the tabernacle when they were in the wilderness. And so it says that he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate, so Moses finished the work. I want us to understand that God, again, had given some very specific instruction to Moses how to build the tabernacle. And it was not Moses' design. Aaron did not come up with the blueprints for the tabernacle. God had given very specific instruction from the colors to the type of material to the number of rings on the curtain rods. There was nothing that was left to Moses and Aaron. And so Moses then, in obedience to God, finished the tabernacle. And this is what happened when it was finished. It said, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." And then it tells us that it was the cloud that was above the tabernacle that led the children of Israel by day, and it was a pillar of fire by night. Dear ones, I want us to understand again, remember when Moses went up on the mountain and God gave him the commandments? And Moses came down off the mountain and he had been in the presence of God. And because Moses had been in the presence of God, the people around weren't even able to look at him. Because the shine of his face was so bright and the glory of God was just permeating out of Moses that he had to put a veil over his face. And then we find that when the tabernacle was finished, that the very presence of God came down and filled that tabernacle. Folks, I would have liked to have been there, wouldn't have you? Can you imagine after having completed this work that God had told you, said, build this. Okay, Lord, now we're finished. In the very essence of God, literally, physically, came down and filled the temple, the tabernacle. It said the glory of God filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not even able to go in because the glory was so great. And then we find over in 1 Kings in the 8th chapter, in the 11th verse, that David, or Solomon, built another temple. Remember? The days of the tabernacle were gone, and now a temple had been built. And when that temple was finished, the same thing happened. It said that the glory of God came down and filled the temple, and the priests weren't even able to go in. The glory of God was so great. Can you imagine what it must have been like? When we were driving the service this morning, I just saw some of these homes under construction and thought, wouldn't it be wonderful just to be there to see the presence of God come down of heaven and fill that home? Well, where does that leave us today? Because in the old days, in the Old Testament, the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the glory of God rested in a building that was made with hands. And that glory of God represented the splendor and the beauty. It represented the praise and the worship, all that God encompasses. It came down and filled that tabernacle. And we find then that the high priest was only able to go into that most holy place. How many times a year? One time a year. You know, I'm not sure he could have withstood the glory much longer than that. And before he went in with preparation. And I believe that they said even one place they tied a rope on their leg in case they were unholy and they went into the presence of God, they'd fall over dead and nobody else could go in there, so they have to drag the dead priest out by the rope. Dear ones, he could only go into the presence of God one time a year. But when Moses was in the presence of God, folks, you could tell it. The people didn't have to question, have you been in the presence of God? They could hardly stand to look at Him because God was just, the glory was surrounding Moses. Well, now let's turn over to Acts in the 7th chapter. Acts chapter 7, beginning with verse 44. Scripture says, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. And that's referring back to this tabernacle where the glory of God came down and was so great. It said that's what our fathers had. We don't have that today. And then he said, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus, or rather Joshua. Brought in with Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. See, after the days of the tabernacle, David came along and he thought, we need a place that the glory of God can come down and fill. And so it said Solomon built him a house. But in the 48th verse it says, howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? Oh, do you know the Lord is asking that this morning? What house will you build me? He said, what is the place of my rest? Folks, on the day of Pentecost, over in Acts in the 2nd chapter, the Holy Spirit came down one time again and there was glory there. When the Holy Spirit came down, what did He fill then? Was it a tabernacle made with hands? No, now the Holy Spirit came down, the glory of God, the essence of God, His magnificent, His praise, He came, the power of God. He came down and He filled a house that's not made with hands. Folks, I want us to know this morning, Jesus and the Holy Spirit wants to come in today and fill some temples that have not been made with hands. And I wonder this morning how many of us are filled with the glory of God. Folks, when we have the glory of God in our life, we're not questioning anymore. People can look on. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost this morning. And the Lord is looking for somebody that He can come down with His glory and say, this is a vessel that is built according to the plan that I have given to Him. And I'm going to come down with my glory. Oh, dear ones, to think about how these earthly bodies that have pain and suffering and problems and troubles, to think how the glory of God can actually come down out of heaven and fill this physical body. Oh, no wonder it was that Paul could say, I would rather glory in tribulation that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, dear ones, I'd rather be in the glory of God. I'd rather have His power and His love than to be free from all the problems and cares of life. Oh, this morning, when you begin to experience the glory of God, you're going to want more of it and more of it. I've been praying this week, Lord, fill me with more of Your glory. I want a closer walk with God. Lord, if there's things that are unlike You, Lord, I'm willing for You to come in and purge because I want to have the fullness of the glory of God. Folks, the glory of God does not dwell anymore in a house made with hands. He's saying, where is the place of my rest? Where can I come and lower my presence? Lower my power? Do you know where the glory of God is? You're going to find power this morning. Where you find an individual that has been filled with the glory of God, there's going to be power to overcome the troubles of life. There's going to be joy. There's going to be happiness. There's going to be victory. And you won't have to question it because you will be able to behold the glory of God. And then it goes beyond us individually. It comes to us as a congregation this morning and as a body of people. Where the glory is, people will recognize it. But I say tonight and this morning in the Holy Spirit that the glory of too many people is starting to flicker. The power with God, the praise, the victory, the adoration in so many vessels now. It's beginning to flicker and there's too many questions today. Where is the glory? is the glory this morning? God is saying that as well. Where is the place of my rest? Where is someone here this morning that will come and say, Lord, I want this experience with you? Folks, you get hold of the glory of God and allow His fullness and His anointing and His power. When we come together, that glory is just going to be here with us. But this glory does not dwell in a temple made with hands. Just because we come to service here, Church of God Guthrie, doesn't mean that means that's where the glory is. He doesn't dwell in a temple made with hands. He dwells in these earthly temples. Do you have the glory this morning? You know, when we have the glory, and again, this is balanced, all related to the message the other night, there's still reality of life. There's still hardship. There's still grief. There's still pain. There's still temptation. But when the glory is there, that's where we find the victory to go through it, that we can find and say as Paul, I'd rather glory. I'd rather glory in the battle and have the power of Christ in my life. 1 Thessalonians in the second chapter. First Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. It says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Folks, the burden the Spirit of God gave me, and it's something I was able to get hold of. I've never seen it before as to the fullness that the Lord gave it to me. The Lord is calling us to His glory tonight. We've been called into the kingdom of God. We've been called to repent. We've been called to live free from sin. But folks, there is another calling this morning, that in these last days the Lord is calling someone to be filled with His glory. Oh, we're called to glory. And again, it's only for us to be honest with ourselves this morning. Do we have the glory? Do we have the fullness of the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in our life? And you may say, yes, I do. But folks, is there a place for greater glory? Is there a place I can die more to Michael, more to self, more of my way, that the power of Christ could rest in a fuller way and a greater abundance in us? Folks, I believe this morning that the Lord is looking down and He's wanting to pour out His glory in a greater way in some people's lives this morning. I believe this morning the Lord is looking down saying, would you let me come down and fill you with the glory that brings the praise and the honor? We're called to be the light of the world. Folks, people ought to be able to look on us this morning and see the glory. The glory is not hidden. Folks, our lives are hid. We sing the song, are hid with Christ in God. It's not our righteousness this morning. It's not our holiness. It's not our works. But it said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, He said, cannot be hid. Why? Because people ought to be able to look on and see our good works and glorify who? Our Father which is in heaven. We're not talking about manufacturing an emotion this morning. We're not talking about manufacturing something else to add to our lifestyle of holiness. Understand me this morning. We are looking to be filled with the glory and the presence of God, a divine work, divine enablement, divine power, divine praise. Not worked up of emotions, but that which was in our spirit that begins to emanate. There is a need for greater anointing among God's people today. There is a need for greater anointing. And I say, Lord, where is it going to start? Oh, Lord, would you start with me then? It's going to take us putting ourselves on the altar. It's going to take us consecrating and submitting. And the Lord wants to come. And we've been called into His glory this morning. There's a lack. Do you see the lack that's in the world today? You see the lack that is among, and I say this in love this morning, do you see the lack among Church of God people this morning? Do you see the lack this morning among bodies of people professing to be gods? There is a lack of glory. Lord, would you fill me with your glory? Where there is glory, there will be zeal. Where there is glory, there will be fire. Where there is glory, there will be life and there will be praise. Folks, if you don't have the fire this morning of the Spirit glowing in your heart, and you don't have life, and there is no zeal, and there's not much praise, there is a need for you being called to God's glory today. There's a lack this morning. Over in Revelation, the 20th chapter, we see a picture here in the 20th chapter of Revelation, beginning with the latter part of the 9th verse. Revelation 21 and 9. Revelation 21, 9. He said, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Do you know that God still has a bride this morning? Do you know that the bride is pure and undefiled? That's the church of God. And it's composed of every blood-washed one. But folks, we have not only this morning, understand, been called to the kingdom. We've been called to His glory. And He said, I'm going to show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Folks, we are living in a world where people are saying, I don't see the church anymore. I know there's so many religions and so many movements. Where is the church? You know what they're trying to ask? Where is the glory? He had a vision. John had a vision and he saw the church. And when he saw the church, he saw the glory. When he saw the glory, there was life there, and there was life and there was vitality. Over in Revelation 12, we see this same woman, thank God. And it said, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Folks, that woman is the bride of Christ this morning, and she is clothed with the glory of God. She's clothed with truth. And we don't have to look around and say, where's the church? Where is God's people? Folks, there are questions, but the reason there are so many questions today is because the glory in so many people's lives is beginning to dim. And I say, Lord, fill us with a greater glory. Whatever it takes, Lord, to be more like You. Whatever I have to consecrate, whatever I have to give up, Lord, I'm willing to do it, that I can be clothed with, invested with Your glory and with Your truth. Over in Haggai, and I'll just read the passage to you, verses 3 and verse 9. Oh, it said, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? After the temple, after Solomon's temple had been destroyed, they came, the children of Israel came back, and they desired to build under Zerubbabel another temple for God. And the old men sat around and they cried and they wept and said, well, the former days are gone. Where's the glory? Remember the glory that came down and filled that temple? And they wept because of it. And now the prophet came from God saying, who's left among you that saw the house in her first glory? Do you remember back when there was great glory? He said, how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as of nothing? And then verse 9, the prophet said this, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Folks, he was talking about the building of a second temple, but in prophecy, I say it points us to the day of Pentecost. The glory that we can possess today is far greater than the glory that fell on the tabernacle in the temple. And that was a time people saw there is glory there. There's fire. There's power. There's anointing there. Do you know that the glory of this former house is greater than that? Or the glory of this last? If you are not experiencing the glory of God in your life on a daily basis, the Spirit of God is calling us today to come to His glory. You say, but I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. You may need to be revived. There is a place that the Spirit will come and give a refreshing. If the glory has not been there, folks, parents, your children know whether the glory is in your life or not. Your children see you every day when you wake up not feeling good. And children and young people, your parents see it in you. Do you know that in the congregation, we're in the last days. The glory is getting too dim in many lives. Do you realize this morning that regardless of what the condition of my life, in the glory or lack of it, in your brothers and sisters, that you can possess the glory of God this morning? There is a place that you can have this life in vitality and praise and anointing. Over in 1 Samuel, and again, I'm just referencing it, 1 Samuel 4 and 12. The children of Israel had gone to get the Ark of God from Shiloh. They went to get the Ark, and remember, inside the Ark contained the commandments of God. And they had been without Him. And they went to Shiloh, and when they got the Ark of God, they were shouting and praising, and the enemy, the Philistines, heard their praise. They said, "What's going on?" And they went down there and they captured the Ark of God. The Philistines got the Ark of God, and there is a woman that had been expecting a child, and the child was born. And she called his name Ichabod, saying, "The glory of the Lord is departed." Or that is, where is the glory? She had just received news that the truth, the commandments of God, the Ark, had been taken. There are too many that have the name Ichabod, and I say it in love this morning. There are too many sitting in the pews all over the world professing to be God's people, and their name, instead of having the presence and the glory and the anointing, it's like the name Ichabod is stamped on their forehead. In other words, the glory of the Lord is departed. The other night we brought out how in these perilous times that there would be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's the time that we're living in. There are too many Ichabods, and the Lord is calling us once again to His glory in these latter times. But it's going to take some sacrifice on our part. It's going to take something. It's going to take us giving up of self and of our way. What is your name this morning? Do you have the glory? But I'm saved. You may still need the glory, folks. You may be in the kingdom, but we've been called to His glory and its fullness thereof. So what is it then that is hindering the glory? Folks, there's something in our lives that's hindering the glory. That means sometimes individually, and I will say sometimes it is collectively, that the Spirit of the Lord cannot anoint us like He wants to with His glory, because there are some collective problems among us. Lord, we want the glory, and that means I'm going to have to humble my heart. It means I'm going to have to die out to self. What hinders the glory? Folks, when the Ark is gone, the glory of God departs. Within the Ark there is truth. If we begin to compromise truth, if we begin to let down on the Bible, understand, listen now, on the Bible standard of holiness, the glory will depart. And I have seen it happen in congregations, and they still say they're church of God. They still have the name, and the glory is departed. We are not exempt this morning. If we compromise holiness and we let down and we want to be like the world and fit in and begin to lower our standard of living, even in the name of reaching out to others, we have compromised the truth, and the glory of God will not be there. We'll have a form of godliness, but where is the glory? Lord, help me. Lack of truth. Compromising, it hinders the glory. Over in 1 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in the 16th verse. The Scripture here says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Folks, when the Spirit of God dwells in us, there is glory. I will go a step further and understand in the love, and I'm speaking in the Spirit of God this morning. There are too many that are professing to be filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is not within them, because the glory is not there. The death is not there. The humility is not there. The holiness is not there. And then we go along professing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it brings reproach to us individually and as a people. The glory of God will come down. You are the temple. It's no longer the tabernacle that was glorious. It's no longer the temple. But now you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he went on to say here then, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Folks, is your temple clean this morning? Is your temple whole? Is it pure this morning? Folks, if you're not living a holy life, if your attitudes and your motivations are not pure and holy, the Spirit of God dwelleth not in you. And he's saying then, what is the answer? The Lord is still calling us. He's not wanting to cut us out. He's not wanting to cut us off, but he is calling us in love when we begin to realize there is a greater glory. Do you believe there's a greater glory this morning? I believe it. I believe it. And folks, I say, Lord, if there's something in my life that's hindering, Lord, I want the greater glory in my life. The glory of God will only abide in a clean tabernacle. Over in 2 Corinthians 6, very familiar, it goes right along with this passage. In the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, in the 14th verse, he said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We're wondering what hinders the glory. He said, ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And he said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Can you imagine the temple or the tabernacle where the very essence of the glory of God was starting to bring in idols into that temple? Do you know that is happening in people's lives today? An idol is something that we worship. We're not many in this country, most of us here this morning are not going home and bowing down to the graven image on our mantle. But anything that has control or power in your life, bowing down to the God of sports, the God of entertainment, the God of self, the God of this world, that has blinded your minds. Folks, this hinders the glory. The Lord will not abide in a temple that has concord with Belial. There's no communion between light and darkness, folks. And he said here then, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Here it is again. This is where the Spirit of God dwells. This is where the glory is. And he said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Doesn't that inspire you this morning? The Lord will be our God, and we can be his people. But when God is truly our God in the fullness of his glory, people will be able to look on and see the glory, the power and the fire of the Holy Ghost. And he said, wherefore, in other words, knowing that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I dare say tonight, this morning, in love again, that there are too many people probably sitting right under the sound of this gospel message that are touching some unclean things. And there may be some things we say, I'm not fellowshipping and I just haven't given myself to it. But we're reaching out and imbibing in things where the glory of God cannot rest. And then we will begin to lose power with God in other areas of our life. We've been called this morning to glory and honor. We cannot have the glory of God and be joined with the world, folks. If we love the world this morning, the glory of God is not in our life. And if we begin to find ourselves beginning to reach out, before you lose your experience with God, you need to come and be renewed. Because we've been called. Folks, this is a narrow way in serving God. It's a narrow way. But do you realize that in this narrow way, it's where the glory is? We can complain about anointing. Have you ever gone to camp meeting and complained that there wasn't enough anointed preaching? Have you ever gone away thinking there weren't enough anointed hearers to the preaching? There's some of that, folks, on both sides. There's some unanointed preaching sometimes. And there's some unanointed listeners sometimes. What is hindering it? Because something in our life is hindering the fullness of the anointing and the power of God. So where can we start, Lord, with me? Lord, start with me. When you are in the way of holiness and the devil says it's too strict, do you realize what it is to be in the glory of God? Willingly, can we take up our cross? Lord, willingly, can we give this up? Because I've experienced the glory of God. We don't want to lose it. We want more of it. But folks, too many are going the other direction this morning. Compromising truth and letting down on living a close, holy life with God. We've been called to glory. Over in Isaiah 42 and 8, the Scripture says, I am the Lord, and that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Folks, the Spirit of God, the glory of God will never rest upon us if the glory, if we begin to give the praise to something else. Where does that touch us today? We begin to put glory and begin to lift up the movement. We're going to begin to lose the glory. We begin to lift up and exalt man. We're going to lose the glory. We begin to establish a ministerial hierarchy. We're going to begin to lose the glory. Because God will not give His glory to another. God will not give His glory to the organization of man where we can say it was wonderful to be there. And it wasn't because of the anointing of God, because it was the organization of man. The glory of God will not rest when that begins to occur. Folks, I want the glory of the morning, but we need to be sure that in all we do, in everything that we do, that God is the one giving the glory, and then the glory will be in us individually and as a movement. And I remember Brother Bob years ago making the statement. I remember he preached on that verse. He said, when God stops getting the glory stops. Folks, when God stops having the place of preeminence in our life, we're going to lack power. We're going to lack anointing. And we're going to come to service. And the songs are going to be singing. It's like, when are we going to get done with this one? And it's not going to be anointed. And the fire and the zeal is not there. Why is that? Where is the glory? It's in the anointed heart. It's in the life that's been consecrated and given to God. Folks, there's glory there this morning. The glory of God will rest this morning on a broken and a contrite spirit. The glory of God will rest where there is humility and lowliness of heart. Is there a place this morning that you know that you need more of this glory? Have you been filled with the glory of God this morning? Have you been filled with the express image of Jesus Christ? Do you see the glory that the church is clothed in this morning? Folks, there's glory for us today. And the glory that can be in our life is greater than the glory that Moses experienced. But if the glory is in our life, others ought to be seeing the glory. And as a body, and I will say as a congregation here at Guthrie, folks, the glory ought to just be shining out. Not because the Spirit's in the four walls, but because the glory is in your individual life. And when we come together and people come and sit among us, they ought to revel at the presence of the Spirit of God. And if it's not that way, something's wrong. And I can't do anything about anybody else but say, Lord, I've been called to glory. 1 Peter 1, over in the first chapter, 1 Peter in the 6th verse, he says here, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Folks, it ought to change the way we look at our battles now this morning. It ought to change the way we view the hardships of life. He said, now though the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Why is it? Because when we allow these temptations to work in our life, the glory of God can shine brighter and brighter. And when Jesus comes back, we'll be found in His glory. And He said, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank God this morning, are you full of glory? We sing the song, I am full of grace and glory. Oh, sometimes we can say, I'm thankful to be saved, but are we full of the glory of God this morning? Folks, I believe God wants to do something this morning. I believe the Lord wants to come down and begin to anoint our lives in a greater way. But it's going to take a denial and a consecration and a hungering for the glory of God. And I know that He'll come down this morning. If you haven't been filled with His glory, if you will come, the Lord will come down and give a greater power and anointing that you can go out in the presence of God will be in your life. In closing, over in 2 Corinthians in the third chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 11. It says, for if that which is done away was glorious, he was talking about the tabernacle. He was talking about the veil that covered Moses' face. The people were not able to look on Moses' face because the Lord's glory was so bright. He said, if that which is done away was glorious, and do we acknowledge this morning it was glorious? He said, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Folks, Jesus came, and when He died on the cross, He said, it is finished. You remember what happened? The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That's where the presence of God was. That's where the glory rested. And through the death of Jesus Christ, now we can come face to face with the glory of God. And in verse 18, he said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. It's like looking into a mirror and seeing the glory of God now. And he said, are changed under the same image from glory to glory, even the Spirit of the Lord. You know that means we can look at Jesus this morning, and as we yield ourselves, we'll become and look like Him. Jesus is the glory this morning. The Spirit of God is the glory. But if you will look on Jesus this morning in your battles and the things you've been giving yourself to, if you will come and look on Jesus, He will allow His glory to come in your life. It says from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. One more thing, glory to glory. It means that we are transformed by the glory of God in our life. But there is coming a day when Jesus Christ comes back and we have the glory right now in our life. We're going to go from this glory to the glory over there, folks. There's going to come a day the Lord's going to come back and He's going to say, where is my glory? Oh God, look on me and see your image reflected. Find the anointing and the life and the praise and the power, Lord, over here. And you say, that's one of mine. And we're going to be translated from this glory, from these earthly, mortal, corruptible bodies. We're going to be changed from a glorious spirit here to His glory over there. Oh, folks, I want to be there. I want to be having the glory in my life now that I can experience the glory over there. Tonight, this morning, the Lord is calling us to His glory. I want to entreat you in love and in the Spirit of God, allow the glory of God to come down tonight. Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, I'm going to come. And I'm not going to be ashamed because everybody's going to be wondering, are they not saved? Are they not sanctified? Are they? Lord, I just want the glory. Lord, I just want to come and have a greater refreshing of infilling of your Spirit. Whatever the need is, folks, the Lord wants to come down. Can we respond and be filled with the glory of God?